I came across a little bag a few weeks ago. It was a Christmas gift given to me and my classmates from a seminary instructor. She had included an encouraging note that explained the simple items in the bag. One item was a small votive candle, encouraging us to let the light of Christ shine through all that we do. Another item was a hazelnut, an image from a vision received long ago by Julian of Norwich, of God's love for us and all that has been created. The last item was something that I remember from my childhood. I had a sample of it to show y'all, but it was left behind, unfortunately, and the Christmas pageant practice kids ruined it. But do you remember what this was? It was called a Chinese finger trap. Remember that from childhood? I think it was at the 8 o'clock I pulled it out and they all looked at me like they'd never seen one before. I thought I'm the only one that was traumatized as a child by a Chinese finger trap. You know, I can remember it very clearly. Apparently they're still around. It's been in TV shows, Star Trek, The Next Generation, The Simpsons. So I don't feel quite as old because those are relatively recent shows, right? But if you remember, you put one finger into this and one in the other, and you try to pull your fingers out, and you're trapped. You're just trapped, and you sit there, and you're trapped. And I had very unfriendly people who, seduced me into putting my fingers into this thing and then laughed and wouldn't tell me the trick on how to get them out of it. And so I think I literally did what the guys did at during the break between services. I think I chewed it off just to get out of that trap. My seminary instructor noted that this fine Chinese finger trap was a metaphor for how we relate to others. We humans have a tendency to want to pull away from another, but that just tightens the grip and the hold of that fear or that dislike or whatever it is, and we're trapped by it. Instead of a moving away from others, our instructor urged us to move inward to our center, the Christ within us, and thereby lean into the other with God's love so that the opening of our heart enlarges, just like when you push your fingers together in this trap, the openings around the side allow you to be freed, fingers to be freed. And we too can be freed through God's love if we lean into the other. We can be freed from what troubles us and our inability to love. My instructor nailed us for sure with this little item, wouldn't you say? It is such a human tendency, isn't it, to pull away from others, whether they look different from us, act different from us, or have different beliefs than us. We really just like to remove ourselves from their presence or the obligation of having to relate to these people. Maybe we find their behavior obnoxious, or perhaps there's something about them that just makes us uncomfortable. Maybe relating to them requires us to be more vulnerable, more honest, or more compassionate than we may really want to be. Whatever it is, we just want to pull away, literally, emotionally, and or figuratively. You know, we see this human tendency in our gospel reading today, Matthew's account of the birth of Jesus. As you know, we really only have two accounts of Jesus' birth in the gospels, the beautifully detailed and lyrical account from Luke, and this cut-and-dried, matter-of-fact version in Matthew. Luke's rendering clearly focuses on the role of Mary, while in Matthew, Joseph is the leading character. And Joseph enters the scene today by wanting to separate himself from someone. He wants to dismiss Mary and quietly cancel his contract to marry her when he discovers she's pregnant. Now, why would he want to do that? Most people think Joseph was motivated to pull away because he knew that the child wasn't his, meaning Mary was an adulterer. A few believe that when he found out Mary was pregnant and understood that she was pregnant with the Holy Spirit, Perhaps Joseph was too afraid to marry her and become her husband because the pregnancy had made her sacred to God, belonging to God alone. Either way, Joseph, as a righteous Jew, had two options. He could pursue a legal course that required a trial for adultery, or he could just draw up a bill of divorce, quietly setting aside the contract to marry Mary and merely dismiss her. So Joseph chose the latter option, likely out of compassion, and planned to separate himself from her, that is, until he had a dream. Throughout the Bible, dreams are the means through which God reveals God's wishes or desires or expectations. And this dream was no exception. An angel first tells Joseph to not be afraid, something that angels have a habit of doing, don't they? Then this angel tells Joseph about the child Mary is carrying. The child is a boy conceived by the Holy Spirit and will save his people. While the Israelites believed the Messiah would save them, there is a new message the angel gives Joseph about the Messiah. This child, to be named Jesus or God saves, will save them from their sins. The child will also be given another name, as offered in the passage from Isaiah that Matthew quotes. The child shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. God with us. God saves. What a pair of names for a little child. What a pair of names for God incarnate, for God who took flesh in the form of this baby Jesus and became human, saving us by, among other actions, being present among us. And what a contrast of behaviors in our gospel. So very human, Joseph desires to separate himself from another either because she is not good enough or he is not good enough. In comparison, God divests God's self of all that makes God holy and becomes human. Not because humans are good or because humans are bad. No, God becomes one of us and lives among us to draw us to God's very self. God with us, Emmanuel. We were made by God to be in relationship with God, a God who empties himself to be with us, a God who dismisses no one, pulls away from no one, and doesn't allow us to do the same thing. This is Emmanuel, God with us, the God who saves. But here's the catch. By the very fact we are deeply connected to God, we are also deeply connected to one another. We dismiss or reject another at our own peril. Like the Chinese finger trap, in pulling away from or rejecting another, we become trapped, limited in our ability to love others and consequently our ability to love God. The late Peter Gomes, a renowned American preacher and professor of Christian ethics at Harvard Divinity School, tells a story in one of his books of a time when he was a guest preacher. As he and the parish's rector were about to pray before the service, a crazed man burst into the room. He babbled on, and even though it was obvious the man was either off his meds or on some other kind of drugs, Gomes grew more unnerved. All the while, the rector treated the young man with familiar but firm courtesy until the young man had expended himself and left as abruptly as he came. Gomes remembers that he let loose a sigh of relief, but the rector quietly commented, "I keep hoping he's not Jesus. I keep hoping he's not Jesus, but he is, isn't he?" We only have to look further into the Gospel of Matthew to be reminded in chapter 25 that when we care or relate to another, we are doing it to God. Remember that passage? Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? Just as you did it for one of the least of these, you did it to me. Too often we live into this gospel message by providing acts of kindness to someone far off or strangers in need. And these acts are good and worthy service to God. But more often than not, Emmanuel, the God with us, calls us into deeper relationship with those right in front of us. Our families, our friends, our co-workers, neighbors, our church family. We are all made in the image of God. We all carry within us the spark of the divine. Dismissing another means we dismiss God. The good news is that God is with us, teaching us the spiritual lessons of relationship and love for one another over and over and over again. For this is Emmanuel. This is God with us. My prayer is that we learn from that very God and open our hearts more and more to Him and to one another this holy season. O come, Emmanuel.